The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
It is good to have you in the Lord's house on this fifth Sunday in Lent as we draw nearer and nearer to Jerusalem on that holy day of Good Friday. The order of service is before you. We follow that today. A couple of notes to highlight. Elders meeting this morning. We'll gather shortly for a brief meeting. Easter breakfast sign-up is on the table in the narthex as you go out the door to the right. Those of you who will join us for the Easter breakfast, please give us a heads up as to how many will join us for that. Also, 3 o'clock this afternoon, the Nevada Union Choir is going to be here presenting a Bon Voyage concert for those students who are headed to England. So it's open to the public. If you'd like to, you're more than welcome to come and hear those kids sing. And again, in the bulletin towards the back, I believe we have the remaining Lenten schedule and Holy Week as well. So please take a look at those dates. Let us sing. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter. Jesus began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long time. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant, but they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one also they wounded and cast out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them, but they feared the people. So they watched him and sent spies, who pretended to be sincere, that they might catch him in something he said, so as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. This morning we're going to take a short side trip to get to the vineyard in the parable. We first world people really pride ourselves on what we own, on what we have, don't we? But what do you really and truly own? House, land, car? It's really just a piece of paper that says it's yours. Several years ago, I went to Brooks Army Medical Center in San Antonio as a favor. Pastors sometimes do this for members of churches who are in a hospital far away from home. So I went to BAMC to see a soldier who was recovering from multiple surgeries. When everything was gone, when he woke up in the twisted, smoking remains of what was left of his Humvee, the only survivor of an IED blast, the only place he could turn for help and for strength was to his Lord. And at that point, he still had months and months to go in rehab and therapy. More surgeries were scheduled. And he and his wife's trust in the Lord was strong, though. They wanted to receive the Holy Sacrament so very badly. It had been months since he had received the gift of our Lord's body and blood. He knew from where his strength came. It came from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now hold that thought. We're at the vineyard. It seems that there's been a ruckus. Servants have been beaten. Servants have been killed. The Old Testament prophets are those servants. Jeremiah, Isaiah, all the way down to St. John the Baptizer, the Baptist. God's people wanted nothing to do with them, even though they had our Father's life-giving word to give. But then, when the tenants saw the Son, they assumed that the owner was dead. So they come up with a plot. Let's kill the Son, and the inheritance is ours. Sounds crazy, right? But it is possible. If the landowner dies and leaves no heirs, the tenants could claim the land free and clear. If they can get away with the murder of the Son, which is why they killed him off the property. It's a picture of Jesus' looming death. Within only a few days of speaking this parable, the religious authorities of Jerusalem would cause Jesus' crucifixion at the hands of Pilate on a hill called Golgotha, outside the city. The parable would become reality. And all because the tenants thought they could change the deal and do things their way with something that wasn't theirs in the first place. And the hard truth is that we are all tenants. We are not owners. Everything you have is on loan from God. Home, land, car, talent. You might imagine that you're the owners, right? It's my money. I can spend it how I want. It's my body. Nobody can tell me what I can do with it. It's my time, and I can use it however I want. It's my life, and I'll run it my way, and I don't need God or the church or anyone to tell me how to live it. That's the sad myth of our time. But the truth is that Almighty God is the owner, and you are the tenants. You have a stewardship, a responsibility to use His gifts wisely and faithfully, and God gives His gifts in the hope of finding a harvest of fruit, finding trust in Him and finding love for one another that comes only when we trust our God and our Father above everything else. The problem Jesus saw was a group of people who were unwilling to submit themselves to God's word and to His rule. They, and you really, were sure they knew better. God can't possibly know what's best for me. Only I know what I need. But their stubbornness led them nowhere, only to the rejection of the one thing that they needed most, the salvation that came from the owner's Son. So to reject the Son is to reject the Father's will to save you. The tenants weren't condemned because their harvest was poor. They were condemned because they rejected the owner's servants. And last of all, his only Son. It's in the rejection of the Son, and only in His rejection, that judgment comes. The parable was a warning to the religious leaders of Jesus' day not to reject His coming and His claim to be Messiah. It serves as a warning to the church of every age not to take God's grace for granted, not to reject the Son who comes to you in the name of the Lord, not to despise His words of forgiveness, nor His baptism, nor the supper of His body and blood. Because God doesn't force His grace on anyone. He forces no one to be saved from death and hell. He does give His gifts. He does send His Son. He does give us the Holy Spirit who delivers all that Jesus died to win for you. And He waits for the harvest. Broken and contrite hearts. Repentant hearts. Faith in His Son Jesus. Love for one another. So don't be deceived by appearances. The Son of God may seem weak. God's servants may seem to be the losers in this world. And the church itself might look like it's failing against the backdrop of the world's success stories. It might look like the church needs to get with the times. But Jesus says, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Israel was expecting much more from the Messiah than Jesus was willing to deliver. They wanted glory. Jesus comes to die on a cross and rise from the dead. They wanted strength. Jesus brings a strength made perfect in weakness. He is the rejected stone, the stone the builders of Israel stumbled over in blind unbelief, the rejected cornerstone of salvation, the one on whom all of salvation is built. And in the end, the full weight of your life rests on Jesus. Everyone who falls on that stone named Jesus will be broken to pieces. And you must be broken if you are to be made whole again. Just like King David said in Psalm 51, "A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. You must daily die to yourselves in repentance to live in Christ Jesus forever." The alternative to falling on Christ in repentance is to be crushed by the sheer weight of His presence. When that rejected stone falls on anyone, it will crush him. So either receive the forgiveness and the life and the salvation that Jesus won for you by His death and trust in Him as the only source of life and salvation, or be crushed, resisting and refusing His death and resurrection. Because every sin has been spoken for in the death of Jesus. Every sin is forgivable. Every sinner has been died for. Only unbelief keeps you away and keeps you out of eternity. Now, the weird little bit of gospel irony in the parable here is that the wicked tenants thought that by killing the son, they could gain the inheritance. And in a twisted way, they were right. Because through the death of the son comes the life of the world and the inheritance of eternal life. God uses the rejection of Israel to work the forgiveness and the salvation of all. So who could have imagined that God Almighty's idea of saving the world would involve His Son being killed at the hands of the religious leaders of His own people? And that Almighty God would make that miserable, unjust death of His Son the one atoning sacrifice for all sin of all time. So let's circle back to the beginning again. Ultimately, what do you own? Nothing. Nothing at all. Everything is on loan. So what of that soldier? When he woke up, wreathed in smoke and flames, he had nothing to hold on to but his faith. But that's the most important thing of all. You have the cornerstone. You have the foundation. You have Christ, and he comes to you here in the church. Trust the Son, that rejected stone who is now the cornerstone of your salvation. Fall on him with all of the brokenness of your life, for he will raise you up, and he will give you life everlasting. Just as the Small Catechism says, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.